feel like that's the best way to record, though, because you're in a really comfortable setting. We kind of did one of our EPs that way, and it was just so comfortable because you're just hanging out in a house, and it's...
Yeah, because the first time it was in... I mean, it was like in a trailer, but it was more studio.
It was a murder barn.
Murder barn?
Yeah, it's the kind of barn where you'd see, like, elements hanging from the, you know, like, sharp objects.
That's a murder barn, if I ever heard
it. Yeah, it's a murder barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, when the...
Can confirm that's a murder barn.
The victims are running from the serial killer, and they end up in that barn they shouldn't go into. And
Wasn't that in
Twister, too, when they were trying to run from the...
Yeah. That's what I was picturing, yeah.
Okay. Wow, I haven't thought about Twister in so long.
I love that movie.
Like I think about it daily.
That's Helen Hunt, right?
Helen Hunt, yeah.
Oh, God.
Bill Paxton.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Poor one out.
I quote that movie a lot.
The Suck Zone. Is that what you...
No, remember the, no,
Philip Seymour Hoffman. How are we not saying Philip Seymour Hoffman?
He's also in that. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Babe, we should watch Twister.
Right, oh, no, cool. Don't do that to yourself. You've never seen it skip this house and that house and come after you.
Goddamn.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, I think my favorite part was the cow, that like the CGI cow that just kind of haunted my dreams.
I think it mooed once it went past the camera.
Wow, we went from the EP to Twister.
We should be good and warmed up now.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, I am recording.
Mm-hmm.
So
I saw that. I was like, shit, is this going to all be in the episode?
Tyler, are you going to add Twister to the interview outline?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. It's going to get added. Well, just like we were talking about with your EP, though, like I do like to start recording before the official thing because sometimes there are some nice tidbits. And sometimes it's fun to start the podcast out with just...
A little bit of banter.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of bit or something. Mm-hmm. So,
you can catch somebody saying something really offensive and then use it against them later, too.
And then, their career dies.
Yeah.
And that's how you kill a career.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Exactly.
We've killed some relationships. We haven't done any careers yet.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
So,
we've broken some bands up.
Okay. Well, we've also gotten bands together, too. So, John and I have this like little inside joke. Podcast joke that we do. So so first we had Ryan Key from Yellow Card on.
Love.
When he was on.
Lovely man.
There was no indication at all that Yellow Card would get back together. Mm-hmm. In fact, 0% chance. I was going to ask him during the interview, but it was so obvious that there was going to be no reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So then months later, there's a reunion. Mm-hmm. So we say... You know, we got Yellow Card back together.
Yeah, we got
that's right.
On the flip side, Dave Bax from Sum 41 comes on, and you know they're promoting their Heaven and Hell album. This was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I think. I'm terrible with time, but it was a long time ago.
It's okay.
Then you don't hear anything about the album for so long, and then now Sum 41's breaking up.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we had Mod's Son on. A week after Mod's Son is on. Avril Lavigne breaks up with him. The whole, you know, Tyga incident goes down. So we broke Mod's Son and Avril Lavigne up, we feel like. Then we talked about, we had Houston Calls on. Tom Kiger of Houston Calls.
Got them back together.
Got them back together. Yeah. But then we brought up Hot Heat, I guess, randomly. John, I think, asked me what my last CD was that I bought, and I think it was that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Monday or Tuesday, right after that episode was released, Hot Heat announces that they are disbanding, like cutting their reunion short, which I didn't even know there was a reunion. So we've affected 5 people, we're saying.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody from that worked on Twister or was in Twister is likely to die today.
No!
Just from us talking about it.
Protect Helen Hunt at all costs.
I was going to say, Helen Hunt's the last one because Bill's gone and Philip's gone. Right?
There are other people in that movie. Okay.
Yeah, the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is in it. The friend Cameron, he's in it.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. I forgot about that.
He's in Succession.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the oldest brother that wants to become president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't think of his name at the moment.
There's other people in it.
Yeah.
There's others in Twister.
Okay.
Unnamed.
Yeah. Sponsored by Twister.
Be be on the lookout this week, guys.
Gotcha.
All right.
This is exciting. It's like my big like return, because I think
I know
it's been several years since I've been
I know.
On the pod.
I know, and it's actually pretty fitting too. So we'll get into that. But I'm just going to go ahead and
talk about the board game also.
I think we should.
Okay.
So all right, here we go. Welcome to it's not the Unplugged podcast. It's just Unplugged. So welcome everybody to Unplugged with Tyler Winters and John Pierman. That's going to take some time to get used to.
Yeah.
This is the first show officially as Unplugged. For those of you who are just now catching on, now we are just Unplugged. Again, we just feel like this name is just a way to help us kind of broaden more of what we want to do, who we want to have on the podcast, that sort of thing. But rest assured, it's the same show, just a different name. Also, in my notes, I have to give a shout out to my son, Nolan, 11-year-old Nolan, because we have a new logo, of course, for the podcast, because we've changed the name. Mm-hmm. But he did help with this logo. And I just had like text, right? And he started messing around with the logo and everything and added some like bright light effect to it. I'm like, that's cool. That's we're going to go with that. That feels right, because Unplugged, but yet it's plugged in. I think so. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he's done more for the podcast than I have.
That is true. Already. That's very true. But he did demand that I give him a shout out. So here's your shout out, buddy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this is a special episode, too, not only because we have a new podcast name that we've officially rolled out, mm-hmm. but we are bringing somebody back onto the pod for this episode. Ali Rincon is back. Ali is here.
Hi.
And it seems so fitting. It seems so fitting, Ali, to have you on, because for those of you who don't know, who haven't been following us since day one, following this podcast since day one.
Well, this Ali, is day one.
Well, it's day one of the Unplugged podcast, yes. Okay. But I'm saying day one of the All Punked Up podcast.
I see.
Ali was the other co-host on episode one through I don't know how many. There was probably like 20 or so. But yeah, she helped kickstart the All Punked Up podcast. So I would say without Ali, we wouldn't even have this podcast, because I was not in a position to where I wanted to do this by myself or solo. This seems like it would be, you know, when you have a newsy type podcast, I think it's good to have a little bit, you know, other perspectives. A female perspective
diversity.
Was definitely nice. Diversity. Yeah. So Ali, thank you for one, for jumpstarting this thing that we have now, because without you, it really I really don't think we would have a podcast right now. So
you know what,
I appreciate you.
You know what, you're welcome.
Very good.
You're
very good.
Welcome. But no, to be serious, it is an honor to like be back. I've been gone. I mean, I left because like I just got busy with life, with work, with like where I wanted to dedicate my time and for my career and stuff, because I am a journalist outside of being a musician, so like it just took, I wanted to stick around, but I just was in a position where I just couldn't, and I knew it was going to be in good hands, so like it was going to be fine. And look at you. Yeah. Here we are now.
Here we are now.
Look at us now. Who knew?
Right.
Who knew?
Right.
Not me.
Well, Ali is on because she's got a brand new EP that was released January 30th. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So we're going to end up talking about that after we talk about the news. So Ali's back. So not only does she want to talk about the EP, but I thought it made sense to just make her talk about news like she used to do, too. So
yeah,
here we are. So we will get to that EP. Mm-hmm. I really love this EP, by the way. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, let's go ahead and get to the news. I do want to mention before we get to the news, Green Day, John, I don't know if you saw this, they went number one across like 7 different charts, I saw Billboard wrote.
Hell fucking yeah.
So from their new album, Saviors, which came out on January 19th. And then I also just want to shout out some good songs released this week. We don't necessarily need to go into any details about them, but Goo Goo Dolls, they had a new song called Beautiful Lie come out. Really love that. Blessed Union of Souls had a song come out, and I do not even have it written down here. That's I'll have it here in a second. In Your Arms Tonight. When was the last time you heard of Blessed Union of Souls, John?
A long time.
A long time. Sweet Pill, it's one of your favorites, John. Hopeless Records Act. They had a new song called, Jesus, Ty, write these songs down. Eternal.
Preparation.
Yeah, not very good at that sometimes. Okay. Bowling for Soup had a new song, which I really, really digged, called Award Show Taylor Swift. I really feel like this was classic Bowling for Soup pop punk, classic humor from Bowling for Soup. So if you guys are current Bowling for Soup fans or old Bowling for Soup fans, you'll definitely love this song, Award Show Taylor Swift. I love it. I've listened to it probably 5 times already this weekend. Paramore.
It's a weird title.
It is. Paramore came out with a cover of Talking Heads's Burning Down the House. Mm-hmm. Solid cover. Did you guys listen to that?
I haven't yet.
Well, first of all, I'm a huge Talking Heads fan. Like, I want to meet David Byrne so fucking bad. Mm-hmm. I want to just, like, be his best friend. But that would be weird,
I want them to get back
together
just one more time.
Yeah. I want them to get back together so I can just see them before, like, God forbid, like, knocking on all of the wood. God forbid anything happens to them. But, yeah, Talking Heads, Paramore, two of my favorite things put together. I loved it. It was awesome.
Did you know that that's part of a Talking Heads tribute album,
yeah,
I guess?
I've been in the know. That's exciting. I've been in the know. What are
okay,
you
so,
about?
Yeah, that's right. I forget who I'm talking to.
But, I'm a journalist.
Do you know any do you know any details about that album? I haven't, like, seeked it out, but
I can't share.
You can't share. Are there some, can you tell us, are there some bands that we love that will be on this album? You don't have to go into specifics.
I'm gonna tentatively say yes. Because, I mean, obviously, like, I've said obviously way too many times. I'm so sorry.
Obviously.
Yeah. I know that I have a pretty good grasp on what y'all's music taste is. So I'm going to tentatively say yes.
Okay.
But if you end up hating it, please don't come for me. but I'm going to just tentatively say yes.
Now, I noticed it's called Stop Making Sense. So I'm wondering if they're only covering the songs that are in the film. Stop Making Sense. That's a guess.
It's a guess. It's a good guess. It's a good guess.
Aha.
All right. Good.
But, yeah, and then I'm sorry, I hate to circle back to something we've talked about, but I feel like the Bowling for Soup, first of all, I want to say I will always bowl for Soup. Love that band. Saw them at Warped Tour.
It's really the only thing you should bowl
for. Yeah, Soup is fucking delicious.
Well, I've tried Soup on a plate and it just doesn't.
It doesn't work as well. It just gets everywhere. No. It's messy. Burns your hands.
Sloshy.
Yeah. All right, sorry, but no, I love the song, but whenever I look at the title, it just makes me think they're really going for that SEO.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know.
It's like whenever Hot
Totally.
It's like whenever Hot Mulligan put out a song called featuring Mark Hoppus.
I love that.
Yep.
It's giving that.
Yeah.
But,
well, didn't they also have, were they the band too that did something with, like, Michelle Branch too in the name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, they.
Something
like that.
They got me with the featuring Mark Hoppus bit too.
That was, well, I remember the first time I listened to it, I didn't realize that was the song title. So I was just, like, waiting for Mark Hoppus to show up.
Me too.
And then at the end, I was like, did I miss it? And then I was like, well, maybe he's just on guitar. or maybe they warped his vocals. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm just a dumbass and, like, fell for it.
I
just thought
too.
It was so funny because, like, at that time, like, everybody seemed to have a song for, and it was just funny to me. But
no, that it was good.
Anyway,
but yeah, that Paramore cover was solid. Production solid. John, you haven't listened to it yet?
No, you know,
you'll dig it.
I'll get to it.
Yeah,
Hayley Williams sounds really, really good on this one. I mean, she sounds good anyway, but I mean, this is up there, I feel like.
I feel like she, I mean, obviously, like, Hayley Williams can do anything, and I love her for forever and eternity, but I feel like she does, like, a really good job of, like, still keeping true to, like, Paramore's whole style.
Yeah.
But she does a great job of infusing, like, Talking Heads into that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like, yeah, it's a cover, but it doesn't feel like it's like a one-to-one cover. It feels like they really did make it their own while still,
yes,
like, kind of honoring aspects of the original recording. So I feel like that was just like, it was just really well done.
Yeah.
I hope she was wearing a giant suit when she did
she
it.
She was.
Oh yeah.
She was.
I do want to give props too to the music side, to the musicians in the band too, because just the whole production was great.
Oh yeah.
Not just Haley.
Yeah. Everybody really put their whole I can't say what I was gonna say
their ass into it?
No, it was gonna be something else. I'm just gonna I've been on the internet for too long, I just can't.
Yeah, you know anything goes on this podcast though.
Well,
anything.
Not anything. Let's have some boundaries.
We'll cut the things that we feel needs cut.
Okay.
So one other song that was released that John, I think you would like. Allie, you might like it. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Oasis? Liam Gallagher and John Squire, I guess, had a collab this week, just called "Just Another Rainbow." Solid. And if you like Oasis, love that Oasis sound, you'll absolutely love this song. So I loved it.
I find Oasis to be overrated.
I hate Oasis.
Oh, wow.
Overrated
and then hate?
Hear me out. It's not that I think that the music is bad. The music
is... Okay, we're talking about the people.
Well, the music is good. But then I remember...
Classic
Noel
sounding.
And Liam Gallagher. No. Yes. Yeah. That is their last name. Yeah, sorry, right. I was watching a lot of Shameless, and there's a character named Liam Gallagher, so I just, for a second, I got confused.
Nope,
but anyway,
you're right.
Fucking Noel and Liam Gallagher. I just despise them. I just think that they are arrogant. I'm a little nervous because... But they're not going to fucking care who I am. It doesn't matter. But no, I just think that, their attitude... Their fucking feud is stupid. They're a good band. I fucking love Champagne Supernova. I fucking loved that song when I was growing up.
Don't look back in anger is the only one.
Don't look back in anger.
Still get down with it. Yeah.
Good one.
Stop Crying Your Eyes Out is one of my favorites.
Also great. Again, they are good musicians and they have great songs. But I know there's separating the musician and the artist. But for them, I just can't. There are certain instances where you're just like, no, I cannot separate the artist and from their
and the,
art.
The whole brotherly feud in a band thing is so tired.
It's
like they're not even the first ones to do it.
It's like, come on, you're fucking adults. Get fucking over yourself.
I have a theory now that Noel and his wife are now divorced. Mm-hmm. I have a theory that now the feud between Noel and Liam is more for show than there is a feud. I'm sure they're not on great terms based on what we've seen in the past, but I feel like something's going to happen where Oasis is going to reunite in some form soon. I just have that feeling.
Get your income cut in half.
I think they're both doing fine. I mean, the UK loves them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know the UK loves them, and that's good for them. But, you know, I'm not the UK, so...
No. I totally get that.
Yeah.
And I get where you're coming from, where you kind of roll your eyes at the whole situation.
Yeah, and I want to also, just put this out there. If you love Oasis, I'm not coming for you. You're fine. Everyone is allowed to have their music taste. I am not a snob. Just because I don't like someone doesn't mean that you can't like someone. If you love them... Good for you. Great.
Keep listening.
I don't have any problem with you, okay? It's just my opinion, and you can have your opinion, and we can all have opinions together, okay?
I love the take.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Anyway.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump into some news. There is a few things that we want to discuss this week. Some things came out last week, but we missed last week's episode. We had to delay it to this week. John was sick. So this week...
Good.
Thanks for asking.
I'm glad you're feeling better, John.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I was worried for you.
Thank you.
So I thought this was interesting, and this news may not make a ton of sense to talk about on this podcast, but it made me think of a question to ask based off what I was reading. Okay, so my question is, could Netflix end up being home to live concerts at some point? Because it was just announced that Netflix bought the streaming rights, the live streaming rights to Monday Night Raw, WWE's Monday Night Raw. For those of you who don't know, WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. It's been on the USA Network, cable network, for over 30 years. As long as I can remember, it's been on USA. And John and I, for the record, used to be longtime wrestling fans.
Tyler and I have actually wrestled each other, so.
We have.
What would your wrestling names be if you...
Oh, gosh, we had several. Yeah, there was only five or six of us, so we had to have like multiple different wrestlers.
So. Yeah, so we had a few other friends that we would record ourselves. I'm sure those tapes are somewhere. One of our subscribers to the podcast, supporters, has these videos. So, Tommy, do not let those videos see the light of day, please.
Burn them.
For God's sakes, burn them.
Well, don't burn them. Just like recycle, something more environmentally conscious way of disposing of them, but get rid of them.
Okay, but anyways, Netflix bought the rights to stream Monday Night Raw, and they bought the rights to, I think, all of the other WWE shows.
Correct, yeah, they're going to have SmackDown
across. Also. Yeah, but that's only overseas, I think. I think correct. In the United States, it's just Monday Night Raw. So that deal was for $5 billion for 10 years. I think Netflix can opt out after 5 years, but also... they retain the right to re-up for another 10 years after the initial. So this is absolutely huge for Netflix, absolutely huge for WWE, of course. And USA Network is losing its top show on Monday nights, probably across the whole week is my guess. So why are we talking about this? WWE
I'm sure
is
that's
now,
Alex's question.
WWE is now owned by... TKO, who also owns the UFC. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I was reading this, and Netflix has kind of dabbled in the live entertainment space over the last couple years, maybe, and this is their first big like acquisition or first deal. So it made me think, well, maybe UFC is going to be the next one to get some type of deal through Netflix. And then I started thinking, well, if they're into this live entertainment stuff, why not go for live music? I know Veeps does their own thing with like a live music pass for concerts and whatnot. But I would think if Netflix got into this, or maybe Netflix bought out Veeps. Well, they're not going to buy out Veeps because Live Nation owns them. But I don't know. I can see Netflix being home to live music entertainment at some point. Do you guys get this vibe? Do you think this is something that maybe Netflix should go for?
I think it's already happened a little bit. I mean, you have Hulu will stream
Lollapalooza.
Oh, what's the West Coast festival?
Well, they Coachella. Did Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza.
Yeah, they'll do like Lollapalooza whatever the West Coast one is.
Coachella.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I mean, okay, in regards to like WWE now being on Netflix, I have like some questions. One,
we'll do our best to answer them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one, like, I feel like, that's good. It's, like, good for business, but I feel like it's, like, not so great for, like, fans, like, U.S. fans. I guess specifically because I don't, who the fuck outside of the U.S. is watching WWE?
I think it's pretty huge overseas. I think so.
All right.
Probably. I would almost
I don't watch WWE, so, like, I don't fucking know.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's actually bigger, but I don't know for sure.
If I'm not in the know, someone educate me, I guess. But yeah, I feel like it's good for business, obviously, but like not so great for fans. Because like, aren't those like episodes, I don't know if they're, whatever. Mm-hmm. Aren't they like super fucking long?
I think they're about
2 hours
Yeah, 2 hours, yeah.
Okay. So like, I mean, obviously like Netflix is all about like runtime, keeping you watching, all that good stuff. I just feel like that's just so much. But in regards to, Netflix taking this idea and doing concerts, I mean, yeah, John, you're right. Hulu has been doing this already with Lala, with Coachella. It wouldn't surprise me if Hulu continues doing that and maybe branches off to festivals like Riot or...
Oh, man, yeah.
That would be crazy. Or like, I mean, I know So What down in Texas is smaller, but like, it's...
But you know,
but it could happen. Who knows?
Why not?
Why yeah. not? Or who knows? Maybe When We Were Young Fest will.
Yeah.
If it sticks around, like maybe that'll happen too someday.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, it's not. In my opinion, like it's not out of the realm of possibility. I feel like there will be like growing pains, of course, because I think.
Sure.
Unrelated, but kind of related. And there was a season of Love Is Blind recently where they tried to do a live finale and it was just a clusterfuck. Like, it just did not work out. There were technical issues. I didn't watch the finale live, but Twitter was just like ablaze with people being like, it's not fucking working. It's not working. And so I think, like, if Netflix is going to do that, they need to, like, sort their shit out.
Yeah, right. And oh, for like, sure.
And like, because like, if they can't even do a fucking finale of a dating show,
but
how the hell are they going to do a concert if you screw or up a festival?
Or like a live sporting event. If you screw up a live sporting event like that, that's terrible.
That's going
like,
to be so bad.
Yeah, you can't do that. But here's the thing, too, where I think we do, somebody needs to move more into the live music concert space, because it's no secret that it is so expensive nowadays to go to concerts. Even if you take out the stupid dynamic pricing model that Ticketmaster has, it's freaking expensive. I was looking into getting Green Day tickets in St. Louis, and I think it was like $235 minimum to sit in the way back in front of the lawn. And I can't justify it. Green Day is probably my favorite band of all time, number one. And I know other people can justify it, and that's fine. But I just can't justify spending $235 for, you know, 3 hours and then I'm done. So it's like, I just can't justify it. And then that's probably cheap, $235 for a ticket nowadays. So if I can't justify that, there's no way I'm going to go see Blink for $400, $700. I'm not going to go to When We Were Young Fest that costs, I don't know how much, over $1,000 for both nights, because then you got to stay there in Las Vegas or wherever. So what I'm saying is it's way too expensive to go to concerts nowadays. So I think they need to make, they don't need to, but I think that there is an opening to make these concerts more accessible to people who don't want to spend the ungodly amounts of money that they have to spend now.
Yeah, just
I agree.
Just Tyler, John, apply as press, go for free. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I know. But loophole. Then I'm also lazy, so I don't want to. Yeah,
well,
you know,
there's
that side.
Okay,
I know John and I could probably get to those, but it's the principle of the thing.
But no, I know it's the principle of it.
We're also speaking from a place of privilege, having seen them, you know, long ago.
Yeah,
so
right.
So
that
makes you less inclined to kind of fork over that kind of money. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it didn't cost nearly the amount that, and I know we've got, you know, inflation over the last 20 years. Makes a difference, but I don't think our maybe $50 to $60 ticket way back then should be triple or more today than it was back then. So that just doesn't make any sense.
Anytime I hear about how expensive tickets are, I always think back to that one interview where the interviewer is telling Kurt Cobain and like Dave Grohl, like all of Nirvana essentially, like how much tickets are going for I don't remember.
I think
which,
it was Madonna.
For Madonna. Yeah. And it was like $100 or something like that. And
it may not have even been that much, yeah.
It might have been, it honestly might have been $50.
I think it was.
I think
and
it was.
Kurt was like, $50? No. Like,
yeah.
Anytime I see how just expensive tickets are, I like always think of that clip and I'm like, Kurt would be so upset.
I don't think they should be much more than, you know, $100 tops. I mean, depending on where you're sitting, of course, but it's like, there's some people that just can't go, or there's some people that probably shouldn't be spending that money on that ticket, but they are anyway. But I don't know. They need to make these concerts more accessible, I think. But then you run into and I know John's brought this up before too, then you run into the problem of people recording those concerts and then putting them up on YouTube and that sort of thing, and or selling them or whatever. So,
or
bootlegging them
that
on VHS.
That's what they need to figure out. Right. Yeah.
I one time met this guy at a party, and we were talking about what our jobs were, and he was like, yeah, I just buy tickets. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, yeah, I buy tickets and then I sell them.
He's telling this, like, to the wrong person.
I was like, what do you mean? You buy tickets and you sell them?
I know exactly what he's talking about.
And I think he was just like trying to go be have like a roundabout way of saying that he was a scalper.
Yeah, he scalps
like
him.
And I wanted to strangle him. I was just like, I had to leave the conversation because it was my friend's birthday party. So I was like, I need to leave. I need to get away from this conversation before I make a scene.
It's like I buy all the Tickle Me Elmos and then I hold on to them.
And then I sell them out of the trunk of my car.
Yes.
That happened. Yeah. That happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a thing.
But also to go back to the live concert thing, we could put a bow on it after this. But it is a way to add more revenue for these artists as well. And, you know, and everybody involved. If I could buy a virtual ticket to watch said show or said festival.
I mean, the only reason tickets are that expensive is because people will spend that much. I mean, if people don't spend that much money, then they won't be that much. That's
very true. That's very,
it's
very
up
true.
To the people.
Yeah, if people are willing to pay upwards of, you know, thousands of dollars to go see Taylor Swift.
I think it all started with Bluey on Ice. Actually, it's the one who started dynamic pricing. So it's I need to point the finger at the Bluey.
Bluey.
Sorry. I don't know that there is a Bluey on Ice. I just made that up.
Okay, so another bit of news this week was Apple is telling artists that they will see a 10% increase in payout if they choose to put spatial audio quality songs on their platform. But here's the thing. They don't even have to, like, I don't even have to listen to your spatial audio version for you to get that 10%. So just because that 10% extra. So just because you have it out there means you'll get paid 10% more. So I have some thoughts on this, which I think it's cool that they're offering a way for artists to make more money, because artists make shit when it comes to the streaming services nowadays. But at the same time, the artists that are really struggling because of the streaming service payouts, they're most likely not going to have the time or the money to put into studio time to create those spatial audio tracks.
Just to make an extra 10%.
Just to make an extra 10%. So yeah, then you wonder, is it even worth it? Where, you know, where's my return on investment there? But Allie, since you're here and you're an artist making money or making music.
Making money? Where?
Sorry. Making music. What are your thoughts on this? Like initially and then whatever.
Well, initially I was like, ah, sick. Thanks, Apple. You're doing something. Yeah, but then like as I thought more about it, and I want to preface before I go into my spiel about it, please keep streaming music. Please support your artist that you love. Just because we get paid shit doesn't mean that your streams don't matter. So please keep streaming. Please keep doing the thing.
Yeah.
Please keep playlisting us. Please keep sharing it. Please keep sharing it with literally every person you know, including the mailman. So yeah, at first I thought, oh, sick. Yeah, thanks. Maybe I will do that. But then like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm just like a DIY artist. I recorded the EP out of my friend's bedroom. How the fuck are we gonna do that? You know, like that costs time, money, resources that I personally don't have. And I'm sure many people in my position also don't have. So it's like, cool, but what's the price for entry in order to actually do that and make that return? And I mean, 10% sure is like a lot, but is it a lot?
I hear
you.
So I mean, if you're only let's say you're making a dollar, which you're not, we're just doing this for the sake of easy math.
I wish I was
you're making
a dollar
per stream. Now you're making $1.10 per stream, but we obviously know it's way less than.
But it's like, because you're already making fractions of pennies.
Right, exactly. it sounds nice on the surface, but I think this really only benefits the bigger artists, though, like your Taylor Swift's, your Drake's, your Beyonce's, your whatever, whoever the top dogs are. They're going to be the ones that are able to afford to do this. They have the means to do this, and the return on investment's going to be huge for them because they already have millions of listeners per month. So,
well, and they have the labels that'll pay for the
time.
Upgrading to spatial audio or whatever it takes.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like when it feels like the equivalent of like you see that somebody's like drowning and you like give them a floaty, but the floaty is already deflated.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, cool, so now I'm treading water and have to blow up this floaty.
Yeah, right. It's actually a lot. I'm in a kind of in a worse situation right now.
Yeah. Now I'm expending like way too much energy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if I will say though, like if you are an artist that somehow has access to this, like go for it. Try and do whatever you can to, you know, help yourself. But if you are an artist that like knows that this is just going to be more than you can like risk and afford, you know, just like weigh your options.
Well, and what if the technology doesn't take off and it doesn't like become a thing?
Oh,
and
yeah,
then you just
wasted
all this money.
Then you just wasted all your time. Then you're like, you know, double screwed.
What if it's like a 3D TV and just people are like, meh.
Yeah, right.
Like, what
exactly.
Were those?
I would say for any like independent artists or anything like that, it really, I wouldn't even do it unless you have the means to do it. And maybe it doesn't cost them. I don't know what all goes into creating a spatial audio type track. Is it an extra 10 minutes to do? Is it an extra hour, 10 hours per track? I don't know. If you have the means to do it, why not? If it doesn't take too much time, do it. But if it does, I would not worry about it. I would just keep continuing to do what you're doing, put all your more time and energy into promoting your stuff, unfortunately, doing the social media type stuff, all of that. Just focus on what you can focus on. Make some merch. That sort of thing. Cause yeah, I just don't think it's going to move the needle very much for independent artists anyway, even if you were to put the spatial audio versions on. But I do think it's interesting though, that just having a spatial audio version of your song on Apple Music gets you that 10% increase and they don't even have to listen to that version. So very interesting.
It's odd.
It is. Okay. Moving on. One of the last bits of news that I want to talk about, and it's probably the biggest one that's come out this week, Universal Music Group has pulled its music from TikTok. So you've got, who's all on there? I think Taylor Swift is one from UMG.
Drake,
Bad Bunny, The Weeknd, Justin Bieber, Adele, Coldplay, Post Malone, you name it. If you
like
a popular artist.
Every big artist is on Universal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty
or
much.
Or some subset of Universal.
It's a giant corporation.
So it's a very interesting move. I get it to some degree. So here's the gist, though, from what I've read. And I'm just going off of memory here. So, guys, if I'm wrong, let me know. But anyways, the contract was expiring between Universal Music Group and TikTok. And Universal Music Group wanted more money from TikTok for these stream songs, I guess, or maybe just for the use of these songs. I don't know exactly how those payouts work. But anyways, they couldn't come to an agreement. I think UMG also had concerns over the use of AI of those songs. I don't know the details of that. But ultimately, UMG wanted more money from TikTok for TikTok to use their songs. I get that. They couldn't come to an agreement, so UMG's like, we're pulling the songs. They have pulled the songs. I think they pulled them maybe like February 1st, February 2nd, somewhere in there. It's funny because the fans, and I don't even say fans of these songs or these artists, but like TikTok fans, TikTok users, they aren't happy and they're blaming TikTok for not being able to get a deal done. But they're mainly upset because if they've used a track in one of their TikToks, it's now just silent.
Nice.
So they just look stupid dancing in silence, I guess, which I think is funny. I was actually at the hardware store the other day.
Listen, that's on you.
I was picking up some stuff, and there was two girls that were working there, and I can overhear them talking. They're like, look at my TikTok now. It doesn't have any music. It's the other girl's like, oh, that's embarrassing. And I was like, I just thought that's hilarious.
But everybody's doing a Charlie Chaplin now.
Yeah, there you go. A little back to silent films. See, wow. music and film is cyclical. So here we are. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on this because I, for one, understand the business side of things. I get that. But is this the right move for UMG when it comes down to it?
So my first thought when this happened was I went to Reddit. It was just the discourse on there was just like kind of funny. But there's this comment that I saw that, and shout out to whoever this user is, I can't remember their name, but
that's fine.
It was like Universal says, hey, you can't underpay our artist, only we can underpay our artist. And then another comment was like, a record label is not getting paid enough for the music it releases. What's the saying? That's the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that, like, UMG, I'm pretty sure they have, under their label, they have, like, one third of all the music that's, like, on TikTok or something like that.
Jeez.
So, I know. So it's like, I don't know, they're in a position where they can walk away, you know? It's like, yeah. I don't know how it's going to be for the long run, obviously. I don't know what that's going to look like for TikTok, for its user base. I mean, I only really use TikTok to promote my own music, so,
well, you know, obviously, I feel like
I'm not the average user, I guess, who, like, is, you know, creating content and, like, using all of these sounds that are, you know, from major label artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I would hope that now that all of these songs are off of TikTok, like, maybe it'll give a boost to smaller artists who are looking for more exposure.
Less noise to compete with, for sure.
Yeah, but I also know that there are smaller artists who are, like, signed to, maybe not UMG proper, but, like, the smaller labels that are within UMG who, like, probably, like, did need to be on a platform like TikTok to gain any kind of notoriety and grow their fan base. So, like, I feel like it's not the people at the top who are getting hurt. It's the people who are, like, still trying to make their way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Or maybe signed, who are, like, maybe just signed, or, like I said, are on a smaller subsect of UMG who are, like, just trying to, like, grind still and haven't, like, really earned their, really haven't gotten their laurels yet.
Well, I feel like, too, I think you're making really good points, and I'm going to make another point to kind of piggyback on that. I do think this hurts the smaller artists on UMG more because they need this. They need TikTok. I mean, new artists today need TikTok. It's the best place to go viral and to get your songs potentially heard by the biggest audience in the world, right? So I get where UMG is coming from. I understand the business sides of things. They have to protect their property and do what's best for them to keep revenue coming in. But I don't think that this is the answer for UMG. I think my prediction is, I feel like this is going to happen. My prediction is that if TikTok stands its ground, okay, in the end, UMG is going to be the one that gets hurt the most between them and TikTok. And I think that UMG is just going to end up coming back. Of course, there's going to have to be another contract that they're going to have to negotiate and whatnot. I'm sure TikTok's going to have to agree to a little bit more money, but I bet you they're not going to have to agree to what UMG is wanting them to agree to. I don't know what the terms are of that, but like I said, TikTok is the best platform there is for when it comes to virality and promoting new music. That's why I think UMG needs TikTok. They don't need to spend time, you know, trying to promote, you know, those big names like Taylor Swift or Post Malone or anything like that. They're already big enough to where they don't necessarily need TikTok, right? But any new artists they sign, they need it. They need them to go viral to get the attention to start making the record label money. So, and the best part, it's free to use. So I think UMG is only hurting its artists with this decision, which in and of itself hurts the bottom line for UMG in the future. So I think this is a, they're trying to do, I think in the short term, before they come back, it's not going to hurt too bad. But if they hold out for too long, I think it really hurts UMG the most. I really do. I just don't think this is the answer.
Let's say, I think more so specifically, the smaller artist under UMG, or like the smaller aspects of UMG. Let's be specific here, because the people at the top, they don't care.
No.
And that's how corporations in general always work.
Yeah. And I do want to be clear. Yes, when I say UMG, it's going to hurt UMG in the long run. It's going to hurt them because their newer artists that they're signing aren't going to be able to make them as much money as a current new artist could under UMG with the use of TikTok and going viral and that sort of thing.
They're kind of stunning themselves.
I think they are. And I think TikTok's going to win out in the end, because nobody started using TikTok in the first place because of the music. It's just another layer, another option they can use on the app. And there's still music to be use. It's just not, may not be some of your favorites. So, but, you know, it will be a way
But they could be your new favorites.
They could be your new favorites. Yeah, I just think this could be a new way for artists to now start getting a little bit more creative to go viral too. So maybe your music's not going to be able to be used, but you could still go viral in some ways, some way, somehow. That's just something that you have to figure out, but it's just another way to be creative, I guess. But it does suck right now, for sure.
Yeah. I wonder though, if that extends to like, if an artist who's signed UMG, like just like actually like performed.
Yeah.
Like,
did a live little snippet.
I wonder if that
extends to that. I would hope, and I would think, that if they're just like on an acoustic guitar singing, they should be fine. But I don't know.
Or if they're like, ooh, look at this thing I made, and then they like click a button and it plays.
Yeah, that I don't think you could do, probably.
Okay.
Because it's still like the same thing. But I think if you're doing like a live version of it, I would think it would be okay. Of course, I don't know. That's just me. All right. So, Allie, let's go ahead and talk about this new EP of yours.
We can round out the episode with your new EP.
So for those of you who don't know, Allie not only started the All Punked Up podcast with me, not only is she a journalist in the music scene, which, what all publications do you write for, music-wise?
Currently, I'm mostly at The Noise, which, shout out Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
Love you, Jimmy.
Oh,
okay. You're an awesome editor, and I love you. I'm also at Ones to Watch, which, shout out Dave, shout out Max, y'all are awesome. I've been very happy to be at these two publications, for the last, like, I think this year will be 4 years in September, which I think is crazy. They hired me in the middle of the pandemic, and at first Dave and everybody was like, listen, we would love to have you, but we cannot pay you right now because our budget got completely decimated.
X, Y, and Z. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so like I ended up like baristing while I was working, like started working there, and so that's how I was like making my income. But then when the budget got reinstated, like obviously like things started to like, you know, pick back up. And
gotcha.
But I really do love Ones to Watch. I love The Noise. There's like other stuff that I like do, like I write for and like help produce on like outside of that. But that's like my main gig right now. And I've been really happy there for the last like few years. So
awesome. So getting into this EP. So first of all, you go by the moniker Drive-In. It used to be more people involved, right? And now it's just basically you. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was me and one other person, shout out Mitch, love you, man. At the beginning of 2023, you know, we were planning out what we were going to be doing for the new year because we wanted to record, and Mitch wanted to dedicate more time to his solo work, which, like, you know, it's his music, his solo music is really lovely, and I'm so proud and happy for him, you know. So he's doing that, and so I kind of took over the project. And so, yeah, what I'm trying to get at is, like, things are amicable, things are fine. It was a little nerve-wracking at first, I won't lie, because, like, I didn't ever really want to be like the main person, like
sure.
of a project. Sure. Like that's just so nerve-wracking. I believe it or not, like I just like don't like attention, to be honest. It makes me so anxious.
Sure.
But drive-in is like a giant coping mechanism, honestly, for like a lot of like just bullshit that I've gone through in my life. And so like the best way I can really process and deal with all that stuff is like through the catharsis of, you know, making songs. So I was just like, okay, Al, don't think of this as like you being like the front person of this thing. Think of this as like you are just, this is just a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And people just happen to listen to it sometimes. Mm. And that's fine.
I think it's okay for it to kind of feel like a diary entry or something like that. I think it makes it more personal.
I don't know who wrote this line. I think it might have been Michelle Branch, actually. No. Who wrote the song, My Diary Screaming Out Loud, da 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 da? Who is it?
I feel like I've heard that melody.
It's 2 a.m. by Anna Nalick.
Oh, I would not have gotten that. That sounded like something.
That came from like the core. The recesses, the crevices of my brain. The crevices of my smoothing brain that's just slowly getting smoother and smoother. Guys,
mine's all clogged
read a
up
book.
With lines from Twister. So.
Read a book. Don't be on the internet so much. It smooths your brain. Just read some books. Mm. What I was trying to say is, to your point, John, about it's like diary entries. Yeah, there's this song by Anna Nalick called 2 a.m. where she has this line that goes, because these words are my diary screaming out loud. And that's essentially like, that's how I feel with a lot of my songs. It's like they are like diary entries that people just happen to like, listen to like an audiobook.
Sure. Yeah, so. I mean, there is a lot of vulnerability, I feel like, in your lyrics on this album,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is your favorite track on this? If you had to show one person one song from the CP to get them hooked, which song would you show them or have them listen to?
Damn. Man, that's hard. I think either the first song, Ronkonkoma, or the last song, Yokohama, I think that there's like such a duality almost to them. Like, obviously, like, Ronkonkoma is kind of like about... The Ronkonkoma is like an apology song, almost. You know, I wrote that like a really long, long time ago about like a relationship I kind of just ran away from. Because I didn't feel like at that time I was very like worthy of love or anything like that. Like it was very dark times in the Ali lore. But you know, after some time and some therapy, some character development, if you will, you know, I still felt like really bad about how much I hurt this person by like rejecting the love that they were like so ready to give, you know. And the song is like kind of just like an apology to them. And I think that, well, obviously like this song is also the oldest song in the drive-in discography because I released that song originally in like 2021, 2022.
Okay.
It was the first song I ever put out, but I knew I wanted to include it in this EP just because I knew that the concept of location scouting, you know, all the song titles are places that I've been to. Mm-hmm. And had like really significant, you know, moments of, I don't want to say like development, but like significant moments that impacted my life heavily. And so you have Ronkonkoma, which like, again, was like a very pivotal moment. I ended up breaking not only someone's heart, but my own heart in that aspect. And so I knew I wanted to re-record it so that it would fit perfectly in what I was trying to go for with mm-hmm. this EP sonically. Mm-hmm. But then on the journey of the record, you know, you get to Yokohama, which is about, like, I wrote that song actually mid-pandemic because I was just, like, thinking of all the times in my life where I felt, like, absolute peace, and which are very few, which is kind of sad. I hope that there's more of them in the future. But, yeah, I just, like, wanted to write a song that was about finding that peace within yourself, being in the present, and like having that overwhelming, almost euphoric feeling of calm, you know, like being comfortable in the silence and letting it just kind of wash over you. It's almost like it's a very meditative, very like euphoric song that starts out really slow and atmospheric and then like becomes this really like collagey,
yeah,
crashing type thing. So I would say that to answer your question, I would say either Ronkonkoma or Yokohama. So one of those two.
So, well, I think you have a peaceful moment coming your way today when you watch Twister.
When I watch later. Twister.
You're going to get all that feeling.
I'm going to watch
you
Twister.
Know, just a few short hours.
After this movie. Uh-huh. after this podcast episode, I'm going to put on Twister and I'm going to just completely
sink into the couch.
Just completely veg out.
I do think it's interesting that you mentioned those two songs, because my favorite tracks. Well, one, my favorite track for sure is South Fourth and Wythe. It is so good. It was the first one that you showed me. It might have been the first single off of the EP. I swear to you, I listened to it at least 15 times in a row, Allie. Like your melodies. Well, it's just the melodies and the way you deliver, you know, certain areas of the song, that it's just so good. I love it, and I'm definitely a melody type guy, so if the melody's there, I have to keep it playing.
Tyler's so that's what that song is, actually melody for. So
it is
it is.
I do
Tyler
think
honestly,
yeah, that's right,
it flows right off the tongue. Yep. Atlas is good, mainly because it seems like it's kind of stripped back. I like a stripped back song every now and then.
Yeah.
And is it Ohika or Oheka?
Yeah, Ohika. Yeah.
That one's great too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite, John?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny you mentioned South Fourth and Ohika. So South Fourth, I don't know what, that's my mom's favorite song. Like, it makes her cry. And so I like asked her one day, I was like, hey mom, like, why do you like this song particularly so much? Because like, obviously, like, I think when we're younger, you know, we think of our parents as like, you know, they're my mom and my dad. They have no life. Da 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 da. But then as you get older, like, you realize that your parents also have like this extensive backstory, and you like start to realize, oh shit, my parents like had lives before me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think,
I feel like you just have to piece it together like over the years. Like, you never get it all at once.
It's yeah,
all, you
totally.
Always get like little bits here and there,
totally.
And you kind of piece it together.
Yeah.
Like who your mom and dad are as you grow older.
Yeah, so like my mom, I won't go into details because obviously like it's my mom's story.
Sure.
But my mom, you know, I had like a really deep conversation with my mom about, you know, she had her own, like obviously if you listen to the song, you know what it's about. And she kind of talked with me a bit about, you know, her own experience with relationships and how they changed her. And you know, for me, like, I was just nervous about walking down a street. For her, she literally got on a plane and came to America. Because my mom is from Venezuela, so, like, she had her own, went through her own thing, her own, like, extensive, like, lore, essentially, and then immigrated to the States in the 70s, but I think it's interesting that, like, for me, I was just like scared to go on this one street in Brooklyn, but for her, she was like, "Nah, I'm just gonna get on a plane and go
and go somewhere, you know? I've never been before.
I mean, she had
see what happens.
I mean, she had other reasons to leave. She was gonna go get her master's degree in America. So like, you know, obviously there were other, you know, factors that fed into her wanting to leave.
Sure.
But yeah, to find out that there were, you know, things that were more personal, that were outside of education or outside of like career, you know, it's like that's a lot to take in as a child.
Yeah.
Well, like, not as a child, but like as the kid of someone, you know, it's like, wow, mom, I didn't realize that you also went through shit.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So yeah, and then Ohika is also one of my favorites. I wrote that one early in a relationship where I realized I was just like, You know when you realize, oh shit, I'm falling in love with someone, but you're just like, oh no, but I also have to still deal with all of this shit. And like the ghost of the past are like still around you and still like kind of creeping in. So you're like, you just kind of like have this anxiety of, I know what we could be together. I can like see our future, but I'm like so worried that my past and the things I've dealt with are going to take that away, you know? And yeah, it's like, it's definitely one of my favorite songs also. I think it's just really special to me. And also, if you're ever in Long Island, go to Ohika Castle during the off season, go ghost hunting. That place is, the place is beautiful, but at night it's like kind of scary.
Yeah, somehow I knew that Ronkonkoma is a town in Long Island. I don't know, but yeah. I didn't know what Ohika was.
Ohika is a castle in Long Island.
Okay.
And by castle, I mean it's like a Jay Gatsby-esque manor that's like huge, and like the greens are stunning. And I wanna go back and like maybe film a music video or something there. That'd be so funny. Ooh,
it's your strawberry fields.
Yeah, it's my strawberry fields. But yeah, no, Ohika's very special to me also. So I mean, all of these songs are just like so... Fuck. They're just like my children.
No, that totally makes sense. And Allie, the EP is wonderful. And I think anybody that likes that indie sound, I feel like it's probably a good... That's a good way to describe it. They'll love this record. It's very, like we've said, it's vulnerable lyric-wise. It's a pretty laid-back record, so super easy to listen to. I love it. I think you knocked it out of the park. You did so good. Very proud of you releasing this. It's so good. What do you have planned for 2024? Because this just came out. So any shows, anything exciting?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're in the New York area... The New York tri-state area. I'm doing an EP release show at Arlene's Grocery on February 9th, which is a Friday. So don't complain that you have work tomorrow, unless you're like in the service industry or actually do have a job that requires you to be on Saturdays. Right. I'm sorry. This is not directed at you. But yeah, Friday night, February 9th at Arlene's Grocery. Come through if you're free. I go on at 10. I'll be selling merch. So my boyfriend made these really adorable stickers that have like my little mascot on it, which like it's this dinosaur. Wait, hold on. I'll show you like a little.
Yeah, show him.
I like doodle it all the time, but it's this little dinosaur. It looks much better than this because he's actually an artist. But it's this little dinosaur and it always says you're doing your best. And oh, that's cool. And so he made those for me for Christmas and they're just so cute.
That's awesome.
So I'm gonna be selling those. And then I've been making bracelets that like drive-in bracelets since Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. And I'm just ready to sell them because I do not want to look at beads anymore. Okay. So please come buy them because I just can't look at them anymore. And then outside of shows, I mean, I do want to start recording an album. I might play the singles game for a little bit. So I want to shout out Bryce Bishop, who produced the record with me. He produced the record. I just kind of sat there. But we're going to team up again and start working on singles and an album. I want to shout out Ross Newhouse for like co-writing some of the songs on this EP, but there are definitely going to be songs on the album that we wrote together that will like live on this like first long form body of work. So I'm just like really excited. I have like goals that I want to manifest for sure. Like I would love to do more shows like throughout the year. It would be super cool to like go on like a little mini tour if money allows.
Sure,
and if people want it, that would be rad. I've been looking at my Spotify for artists lately, and for some reason, I'm doing, like, really well in Finland. So, like, I don't know, maybe I should book, book a show in Helsinki or something.
Do like, a pub tour.
I do a little pub tour around Finland. It'll be cool. And I don't know. It would be, I want to release something also for my birthday. Like, I'm turning 30 this year, which is fucking crazy. I didn't think we'd make it this far. But I wanted to put out a single for my birthday. It's like a letter to my younger self. I'm going to shoot to have that released, like, on my actual birthday, but we'll see what happens. So
awesome. All right, so more new music for 2024, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And if not 2024, you know, definitely 2025.
Of course, of course.
If the world isn't on fire at that point, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see. It is election year after all, so.
Nah, it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be great.
It's going to go so smooth.
Like butter with rocks in it.
Ew. Mm. All right, Allie, I think this is a good place to sort of land this thing. I want to thank you for coming on.
Bring it down.
I want to thank you for helping get the podcast started way back in 2020, May of 2020. I can't believe we're going to be coming up on 4 years this May.
I know.
So I want to thank you for that. That's nuts. Dude, and I do want to let you know.
You and John have been doing like a great job.
Thank you so much.
Keeping it down. Thank you for like turning, like, if anything, the podcast was maybe like my first baby before I like started really like making music and stuff. So like y'all have really like grown it, and I'm so glad to see that y'all have been holding it down and like keeping it going. So like, thank you for keeping the lights on and keeping the torch lit.
You know? We're doing our best. Mm-hmm. But hey, I did want to let you know, and I think I've told you this before, but you always have a spot here. If you need to promote something, if you want to ever just come on and hang out, you definitely always have a seat at the table of this podcast. So just so you know.
Aw, thanks, bud.
You can just crash it anytime you want.
Also, yeah, right.
If you can guess when we're recording and hop in somehow.
I'll just be like, hey. I'll just like knock on the proverbial door and be like, hey. Yeah.
Allie's in the waiting room.
Allie's in the waiting room. Let her in. All right. But hey, I think this is a good place to end. Allie, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it. It was fun hanging out. Mm-hmm.
35 is much worse than 30. So
30's
not so bad.
Yeah. I will say,
keep that in mind.
You don't really start feeling like you're
weird
getting
pains
up there, I guess, until 35. Yeah.
37, really.
Yeah, I was going to say 36, it kind of started hitting me. 37, I was like, okay. And now I'm going to be 38 next week, and it's just like, what the fuck?
Oh,
what the
happy
fuck?
Early birthday.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's birthday.
Yay.
Yeah. All right, guys. Everyone, go check out Allie's new EP. It's under the moniker Drive-In. You'll love it, especially if you love that indie sound. I love it. Go listen to it. It's out now. I'm going to put the link in the show notes so you can listen.
I also love it. If I didn't say that,
You did now. All right.
You're welcome.
I also love it.
Oh, well, that's probably the most important thing. You got to love it.
Yeah, I also love it. So
you have no choice in the matter.
I have no choice.
All right, guys. Must love. We're out. Peace.